Ketzer misvada, o me'ona Hashem, chatosi avisi pashati lefanecha, v'asisi kach v'kach, v'enichamti u'boshti b'masai, u'la'olam eni choza l'dov hazeh. Zehu ikaro shel vidui. The Ramban comments in his Igeris to the Chachmei Tzofas when the whole controversy over Sefer Hamada and the Mode of Ruchim was raging in the 13th century. So he writes, Ben Hayeser, one of the things he says in defense of the Rambam, again, obviously paraphrasing, not quoting verbatim, you know, in Mishneh Torah, so the Rambam didn't create the unit of Hilchos Diskei Mamon. Okay, so it was his mastery and genius that Lav Davka, everything that ends up in Hilchos Diskei Mamon was right there in Bava Kama, and the Rambam had to synthesize from all over. Hilchos Tshuva, the Ramban says, the Rambam was the one who created that discipline for us. In Chazal, you have a maimer here, you have a maimer there. There's nothing, there's no comprehensive treatment. And the Rambam took those pieces and created a Hilchos Tshuva. It's quite extraordinary, you know. In all of Mishneh Torah, in a certain sense, Hilchos Tshuva is certainly a candidate for the most extraordinary part of Hilchos Tshuva. Case in point, this nusach of vidui that the Rambam gives us, you don't find that nusach in one place in Chazal. There's no Gemara that says Chatasi Avisi Pashati Lefanecha Nichamti Uboshti. The Rambam pieces that together. I mean, everything is with a mokor. It's not a Yeruah Ali. The Rambam doesn't say Yeruah Ali as a mokor, but it's sort of a microcosm of what Hilchos Tshuva as a whole is. Chatasi avisi pashati. So we know that the Gemara has machlokes tanoim about it, but chatasi is shogeg in terms of the seder. Chatasi is shogeg, avisi is mezen, and pashati is a merida, where a person, maybe it's even a shtekel hachis, not just that the person knows that what he's doing is also, but there's an element of the hachis. So it sounds like from the introduction that the Rambam gave, that he's giving us the nusach of vidui for when a person is doing tshuva for any chet. Right? Kol mitzvah shabbat Torah, any mitzvah in the Torah, right? Any and every mitzvah the Torah ben esel osaseh, im over odem al achas mehen, right? Lav dafka that a person has to accumulate seven chatoim to be doing tshuva and being mizvada. So if he's doing tshuva for one chet, so what was it? Was it a chet? Was it an oven? Was it a pesha? And yet you don't get the impression in the Rambam, you know, sort of choose, you know, check off the box which is appropriate here. You know, if it's chatasi, say chatasi. If it's avisi, say avisi. If it's pashate, say pashate. Sounds like that even though the person right now is being mizvada for chet A, which happened at such and such a time, so the nusach havidui is chatasi avisi pashati. So there, Mrs., you'll take a look. Not everyone agrees with what we just said. I think you'll take a look in Minchas Chinuch. I think, if I'm recalling correctly, maybe the Minchas Chinuch, please double check this. Maybe the Minchas Chinuch says that you take a choose, which is the appropriate phrase, which is the appropriate word. But the Pshutim Shalvarim is not like that. Pshutim Shalvarim, the Rambam is no. That this is always the Nusach HaVidui. Chatasi Avisi Pashati. So what's the Pshat? So either or both of the following two. Possibility number one is that what the Nusach HaVidui reflects is that even though there obviously is a dominant characteristic in what a person does, I didn't know that this was Chalev. I thought it was Shuman. So I'm Shoge. And clearly, we'll classify it as such and there will be a chiyah of chatas because it is shogeg. Me'idach gisa. It is often, maybe not always, but very often the case that the more a person cares, the fewer mistakes and the fewer accidents happen. It's very often the case that the more important it is to me, and the more I'm makpid, not chas v'shalom to put something non-kosher into my mouth, it becomes, to that degree, less likely that it will happen accidentally. So was it shogeg? Yes. Is there an element of mezah to it on a certain level? Yeah, often that is the case. That there is, again, not on a level that says that he doesn't bring a chatas, but on a certain level, there is an element of mezid within shogeg. Let's say the shogeg wasn't a mistake and it wasn't mischalef lo chelev b'shuman. Let's say the shogeg was chesron yediyah, that I didn't know the halacha. So was I shogeg? Yes, I was shogeg. I didn't know this was awesome. Is there an element of mezid? Is it sometimes, if not often the case, that if I would have cared more and I would have learned more, that I would have known that it was awesome? Yeah. It certainly sometimes is the case, maybe even often the case.
So why did I make it a pesha?
In Chanam, you're right. So far it doesn't. So far it's only Chatasi Avisi. You're right. Now that sort of, again, to maybe express it a little bit harshly, that indifference, again, whether the indifference that allows for mistaking chayla for shuman, that indifference which allows me to remain ignorant of what yitachen I should have known. So on the one hand, it's mazit, but on the other hand, I don't know, is it clear that doesn't cross the line from Ovon to Pesha? Pesha means something which is done rebelliously. I know the Rav Shalom sort of says, you know, you're welcome in my world, and you know, here are the rules. Here's the book with all the rules. Read the book, and abide by them. I don't know. So is it only mazed if I have that indifference? It's so clear that there's no element of pesha in doing that. That's one mahalach in the Rambam. The other mahalach in the Rambam is, no, leaving this aside, and let's just go with again the simple pshat. No, when shuman and chaylev get mixed up, that's shogeg. When I'm very hungry and there's nothing else on hand, and I take the chaylev, that's mezid. When the shuman and chaylev, and I bedaf to take the chaylev, that's pesha. Or maybe it doesn't have to be that dramatic. So how do we understand that even though there's one chait here that's under the microscope, for which I'm doing tshuva, for which I'm being misvada, that I say all three lashonos of chatos, evisi, pashanti. So, moshe l'ma'adov adomer. Let's say, I don't know, Reuven and Shimon have some kind of altercation. And Reuven gets very angry. He insults Shimon. He assaults Shimon, and causing him bodily injury, and also ripping his jacket. Okay. So then Reuven is contrite. And he comes over to Shimon and says, you know, the other day I was out of line and I apologize for ripping your jacket. Or, okay, no, maybe he says, I apologize for punching you in the face. But that's the only thing he mentions. So on the one hand, is it legitimate to sort of tackle and address, you know, multiple offenses one by one? It certainly is legitimate. But me'idach gisa, if at the same time there isn't an acknowledgement that there are other things that I need to address and redress, there's something very wrong about it. So maybe the pshat is like this: Einachanami, this chait in particular, I don't know. It was either chatasi, it was either avisi, or it was pashanti. But Rav Shalom, you know, I recognize that even though right now I'm clapping al chait for this, I'm clapping al chait for one specific chait, I'm not insinuating that that's, you know, the only thing that needs to be set straight, that that's the only thing that needs to be addressed. But it is legitimate and valid and proper, you know, that a person is thinking in specifics and in a detailed way, and because of that, yes, it's totally legitimate, but it should be in the context of a broader acknowledgement that yes, Ribbono Shel Olam, I realize that there are other things on the on the to be corrected list as well. The Rambam gives us this highly compressed, highly condensed Ikar Shel Vidui, so it's quite clear that every word is absolutely essential. So why is Boshti so essential? Again, we know where the Rambam gets it from. He gets it from Psukim. Boshti v'gam nechlamti ki chot Nasasi cherpas nu'ulai. Well, the psukim that we say at the end of slichas, the boshni began nechlamti lahorim panai elecha. So the psukim in Novi speak in terms of boshti. So we know where the Rambam got it from, and yitachen that. There's even that one even can see from the psukim how central it is. But how do we process that? What's missing if a person would be able to say Chotasi avisi pashati asisi kach v'kach v'harei nichamti b'masai ul'olam eini chaz l'dav v'zeh? What's missing? If he can't say, I'm ashamed at my behavior, what's missing? So I think we spoke a little bit about this, or maybe we didn't. I don't know whether we did or didn't comment about this aspect of the Rambam in Parag Gimel when he's about the remez of Tzkiyas Shofar. But maybe for now, if you take a look in Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, where the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Yuma, the way the Rambam paraphrases it, Ezeu Tshuva Gemura, Zeh Shabal the Yad Odova Sha'avavo, Ve'ef Shabal Yad Olasos, Upiresh Velo Osa, Mipnei Atshuva, Lo Miyira Velo Mikishlan Karach. So the identical circumstances arise. Everything is replicated. The same challenge, the same temptation for chait, the person's at the same stage of life. All external circumstances are the same. There's no secular laws that now that would inhibit him that didn't inhibit him the first time. Everything is replicated, and the upirish v'lo avar, and this time. The person resists temptation and doesn't do an avera, zeh bal tshuva gemura. Now the Rambam quotes a pasuk in Koheles that speaks of tshuva gemura. Hu shashlama omer uzachor es barecha bimei bechura secha, ada shalo yavau yamei hara'a vihigiru shanam ashatoma eini bahem chayfetz. Shlomo HaMelech says to the young people, to the young generation, remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your youth, before the days of infirmity and old age. Don't wait till that stage of life to do tshuva, but rather be made b'chur asacha in your youth. So this is the pasuk that describes what the Rambam is talking about of tshuva gemura. But what does the pasuk say? The pasuk doesn't say anything about tshuva. The pasuk says zechor es barecha. So it's clear that Zechor es Barecha is what tshuva ultimately is all about. And the reason for that is, leaving aside, you know, the category of a Tinok Shenishba, leaving aside that category, that there is a common denominator to all chait. On the one hand, every chait is different. There are different yetzaharas, there are different weaknesses we have, there are different flaws we have, there are different susceptibilities that we have. But there is one common denominator to all chait, which is no matter how flawed a person is, no matter what weaknesses a person has, if a person would be aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, he would be inhibited from chait. It doesn't matter how much of a yetzer hara a person has to cheat. If he knows that there's a camera going, and the camera is going to catch him cheating, and then that someone's going to look at the film, and they're going to get him, and that he's going to face severe consequences, it doesn't matter how strong that yetzer hara is to cheat. It doesn't matter how unprepared he is for the examination. It doesn't matter how weak he is morally, he's not going to cheat. He's not going to cheat. If the prospective bank robber knows that when he walks into the bank, he's going to be gunned down by the bank guards, he's not gonna attempt to rob the bank. Rabbeinu Yonah says it explicitly in Shari Tshuva, in Shar HaRishon, when he's listing the Esrim Ikorim of Tshuva, so maybe it's the sixth, is Busha. He speaks of this, that every chait is Ein Ze Ela Hayos Hashem Yizbarach Rochok Mikil Yosef. That again, leaving aside the category of Tinek Shenishba, the common denominator of all chait is Shechach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that gives rise to the Rambam's equation that Zuchor Zbarecha is Tshuva. Now, what's sort of unique about the feeling of Busha is that, I don't know, let's say if you compare and contrast it to something like pain. So if a person, I don't know, falls and Rahman al-Itzlan twists something or breaks something which causes tremendous pain. So it doesn't make a difference whether there's no one in the room, whether there's five people in the room, whether there's 500 people in the room, he's feeling that same pain. What he says while he's feeling the pain may depend on who is and or who isn't around, but the pain is the same. But let's say a person walked into a room and his shoelaces were untied, and he trips over his own feet and falls flat in his face. So is he going to be embarrassed? So the answer obviously is it depends. If the room was empty, you know, if he looks around, you know, after you know, getting up and there was no one there, so he's not going to feel embarrassed. He's not going to feel embarrassed. If the room was full of people, he's going to feel very embarrassed. So Busha results from knowing that others see our foolishness, our incompetence, our vulnerability, etc. That's Pshat and Busha. It's a person has to be able to say boshti, because the chait, what allowed for the chait was being oblivious to the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the tshuva is that a person now is aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. When I did the chait, I wasn't embarrassed to do the chait because you weren't on the radar screen of Baruch Shalom. Now that I'm doing tshuva, so you are front and center on the radar screen, on my radar screen. And given that, so I now have that sense of shame and humiliation at my chait. Okay, we'll answer.